Tasmin. Unto him. Mahabhagavate. An exalted devotee of the Lord. Mahabhage. Most fortunate. Mahatmane. Whose mind was very broad. Hiranyakashipu. The demon Hiranyakashipu. Rajan. O king. Akarot. Performed. Agam. Very great sin. Atmaje. To his own son. So translation, my dear king Yudhisthira. The demon Hiranyakashipu tormented his exalted, fortunate devotee, although Prahlad was his own son. So you can repeat. My dear king Yudhisthira. The demon Hiranyakashipu tortured this exalted, fortunate devotee. Although Prahlad was his own son. So, purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Śrīla Prabhupāda, Śrīla Prabhupāda ki jai. When a demon like Hiranyakashipu, despite his elevated position due to severe austerities, begins to tease a devotee, he begins falling down, and the results of his austerities dwindle. One who oppresses a pure devotee loses all the results of his austerities, penances, and pious activities. Since Hiranyakashipu was now inclined to chastise his most exalted devotee's son, Prahlad Maharaj, his opulences began dwindling. So, Tasmin Mahabhagavate Mahabhage Mahatmane Hiranyakashipu Rajan Akarod Agam Atmaje. So, Omaganat Vidandasha Vidanjana Shlakaya Chakshur and Mintam Yena Tasmai Shi Gurudevena Maha. So, in this verse, and actually every verse, we not only find interesting stories that glorify the Supreme Personality of Godhead and His devotees, but we find lessons for ourselves, just like we were talking about the other day, and I'm not going to talk more about this, even though I would like to, about Krishna killing different demons and how the demons represented different anarthas. So, you know, there's different levels of appreciating that particular story. One level is, you know, Krishna just get him, jai, haribol, like that. And another level is, you know, what do we learn from this whole thing? Because if we, not only as far as the direct anarthas, if we look at the demons and their attitude towards Krishna and Kamsa's attitude, you know, all the demons' attitudes, we can actually see that we have similar attitudes in our own hearts. At least I do. You know, maybe you all don't, because I don't want to commit offenses against great devotees here. But, you know, you say, you know, there's a little Kamsa in there. You know, Kamsa was trying his best to stay alive in spite of all predictions to the contrary. And doing illicit things, improper things to stay alive. And sometimes, we, you know, that inclination, let's say, I have that inclination, but and sometimes, you know, just like one may hear, for example, that taking fish oil will keep you alive longer or something like that. You know, sometimes I've seen devotees do stuff like that, or they go to a doctor, the doctor says, you know, the reason you're not healthy is because of this, this, and that. You know, you're not eating the right diet, you know, eat your meat, be strong. And there's this inclination to do that. So just to keep the body together, one is ready to perform sinful activities. So, you know, you have Kamsa there, and you have all these other, you know, Putana and other things like that. You know, just because Putana shows in a previous life that due to her bodily attachment to her brother, she was angry and wanted to kill Vishnu. So you see similar qualities. I mean, really one has to be introspective enough to look in their own hearts and see these things coming up. I mean, many of us are just, including myself, we're so proud that we don't see our own faults. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, you know, said something like, you know, we see the fault in someone else because we have like something like a moat in our own eye or something like that. In other words, we're projecting our own conceptions on others, but we can see faults in others because we ourselves are chock full with those same faults. So, in other words, every single story, even if it's a nectarian story, has some lesson for us. And then Krishna dancing with the gopis. Of course, the gopis are the greatest devotees of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But what's the lesson for us? You know, Krishna did it. Yes, it's not simply symbolic, metaphorical, and all that other nice stuff. Krishna did dance with the gopis. However, the lesson for us is their attitude towards Krishna. You know, what we have to aspire for, not to aspire for dancing with Krishna necessarily, but to aspire for that unalloyed attitude of just simply trying to please the senses of Krishna. I mean, because that is a common denominator for all the devotees, beginning with the dasha all the way up to the maturya ras, that they're simply thinking, you know, how to satisfy Hrishikesha, Hrishikesha, Sevanam Bhakti Ruchate, Sarvapati Vadir Muktam, Tatparatam Vadir Maram, Hrishikesha, Hrishikesha, Sevanam Bhakti Ruchate. To understand that we're supposed to serve the senses of Krishna. So anyway, we should apply the knowledge. That's the point I'm making. So in this particular verse, we have Hiranyakashipu tormenting Prahlad Maharaj, and Prabhupada comments in his purport that as a result of teasing a devotee, pressing a pure devotee, of course you can have some like humorous relationship and tease someone. But I mean, tease someone in a cruel way. I mean, obviously. I mean, amongst my godbrothers, sometimes I tease them or I tease the disciples. It's not that I'm falling down because of teasing like that. But teasing here means like torturing. So oppressing a devotee, probably use the word oppressing a devotee, teasing, etc. Then you lose the result of all your severe austerity. And Hiranyakashipu certainly performed a lot of austere austerities, much more austere than us on Ekadashi. Like today's Ekadashi, and some of us are performing what we consider to be austere austerities, like chanting 64 rounds. It's not that austere, actually. It's blissful. And some people fast through the night. Not me. I'm not that austere. Prabhupada also said, you know, material world is austere enough. You don't have to invent more austerities. You know, we already got, you know, it's devotees in the beginning days, we really tried to invent more austerities. You know, we'd sleep on the concrete floor. And the first temple I visited was Boston. And there was no hot water in the shower, you know, just in the middle of the winter. And then I went to New Vrindavan. After I joined the Hare Krishna movement, and then in the middle of the winter, there was a stream. You didn't even have a shower inside. You know, just went outside, and you took a bucket, a milk jug, you know, that didn't have milk in it, obviously, and you scooped it into the stream, and you poured it on your head. And that was the shower in the morning. Everybody there took a quick shower, obviously. Nobody just sat around and just enjoyed themselves into the shower like you do now. You know, you turn on the water. That's how I got trained up. Even when I visit my mother and I take a shower, it's just like a 1 minute shower, and she says, how can you take such a quick shower? But that's the guy I got trained up in New Vrindavan, taking a quick shower, you know, just like. And so anyway, so I went there the first day, you know, just like, oh my God, how am I going to do this? And then right before me, there was the temple president of that particular location, I won't mention his name. And he had just done that, and he said, oh, it's so blissful. And I was thinking, boy, if this is bliss, I'm in the wrong Hare Krishna movement, you know. So, and I didn't find it blissful. I found it excruciatingly painful. Anyway, so we don't really perform too many heavy austerities, but Hiranyakashipu, he had performed all these really intense austerities, you know, standing on his tiptoes for like 100 celestial years. And it's not that he ate the whole time either. You know, no food, just standing on the tiptoes, and wasn't chanting Hare Krishna. I mean, in other words, there was no bliss in it. I mean, at least when we execute some austerities, there's bliss. We get to chant Hare Krishna, we get to see the deities, you know. But can you imagine, like, standing on your tiptoes and no bliss, no deities, no chanting Hare Krishna, no prasadam for 100 celestial years? I mean, I can't even fast for 12 hours, what to speak, isn't it? It's like, I experienced on Janmashtami, of course, you know, I was fasting, but in the afternoon I had to take some fruit because I was feeling really dizzy. I couldn't even focus my eyes. I mean, did anyone else have that experience? No. As you get older, actually, many of us have that experience. I mean, I didn't break the fast, so to speak, because when you take fruit, you don't really break the fast, but it was necessary. I mean, I don't think Prabhupada would have been pleased by me just like running into a wall because I didn't see the difference between the wall and the doorway. So anyway, so Hrani Kashyapu did this austerity, and everything, you know, 100 years of those austerities, he lost everything just by offending his son. Not just by, but, you know, offending his son who is a pure devotee. And so what we can learn from that is, obviously, we're not in the same boat as Hrani Kashyapu, but we have to be very careful around Vaishnavas because the results of our austerities and our opulence or whatever we have can all be lost. And there's many stories about that, even amongst devotees that teach us the same principle. And I was thinking about different stories. Of course, one of the stories that comes to mind is the story of Miniketana Ramdas. Miniketana Ramdas was a great devotee of Lord Nityananda. It's described that Lord Nityananda actually manifested himself through Miniketana Ramdas. So Miniketana Ramdas, he was visiting different houses in Bengal, and he came to the house where Krishnadas Kaviraj, at that point he wasn't Goswami, but Krishnadas Kaviraj was staying, and his brother was there too, and I guess the whole family, because traditionally in the Vedic culture the whole family would live in a joint family situation, even a village family situation. And there's an advantage to that, because then people work together much more cooperatively. Like we've seen during Janmashtami, our congregation, because they're brought up in that particular environment, they're very much into working cooperatively and working together to build up the Janmashtami for us. So it's an advantage. Anyway, so he appeared there, and at the same time there was one devotee worshipping the deity. His name was Gunanava Mishra. And Gunanava Mishra didn't offer respects to Miniketana Ramdas. And Miniketana Ramdas said, well, here's the second Romaharshana Sutta. And of course, Romaharshana Sutta was killed by Lord Balaram. And of course, Miniketana Ramdas didn't kill Gunanava Mishra, fortunately. But anyway, so Gunanava Mishra didn't take any offense to that because he was engaged in service of the deity. But actually, the statement is if a great Vaishnava comes, or any Vaishnava comes, or even a guest comes, and there's some need of serving them, you can actually neglect the deity worship to do that. Not that if there's other people around, you don't do that, but if a great Vaishnava comes in the temple, then you have to offer respects. I mean, if it's just a regular guest comes in, then you may not have to leave the altar, but if a great Vaishnava comes in, you know, senior Vaishnava comes in. Just like when Balaram came into the assembly when Romaharshana Sutta was giving the Bhagavatam class. You know, just like Bhagavatam is like worshiping the deity, he was giving the Bhagavatam class, and Romaharshana Sutta didn't stand up to receive Balaram. And Balaram is actually considered the original guru, so he's like guru, and he's also, in one sense, Balaram is a Vaishnava. It may come as a shock to you, because he serves Krishna, so he worships Krishna. He actually serves Krishna, so we can say, in one sense, he's a Vaishnava. It's like Giriraj is Krishna, but he's also the best of the Vaishnavas, and many devotees worship Giriraj in that particular mood. So Balaram comes in, Romaharshana Sutta doesn't stand up, Even though he's so highly exalted, being given the Bhagavatam class to all these sages in Naimisharanya. You know, these are great sages. These are not just like neophyte devotees here. And he's been picked to give the Bhagavatam class and perform the sacrifice. And then what happens is Balaram walks in, he doesn't stand up, and Balaram says, well, kill you. Of course, great Vaishnavas don't usually do that to someone who doesn't offer them respect, but Balaram happened to do that. And that was purifying. He took some kusha grass, hit this Ramaharshana Sutta, and bingo, Ramaharshana Sutta was dead. And then Ramaharshana Sutta's son was appointed. Sutta Goswami was appointed. So it's interesting, just from not standing up, excuse me. That's right, don't get water. I just have to, it's not going to help, it's just old age coming. So, from not standing up, that's an offense in and of itself. Not respecting. I mean, just, can you imagine that? There's offenses by commission and there's offenses by omission. It's like when Brigham Muni was going to see all the different primary demigods, Brahma, Vishnu, Shiva, he didn't offer respects to Lord Brahma, and that was an offense. Of course, with Lord Shiva, he did commit an offense, commission rather than omission, by blaspheming Lord Shiva, and with Vishnu, he even committed a greater offense by kicking Lord Vishnu in the chest with his foot. And Lord Vishnu was so kind, he always has this Bhrigupada on his, the mark of Bhrigu's feet on his chest. Isn't that, that's such an interesting thing. So, anyway, so Ramaharshana Sutta was killed just because of the offense of omission, just not doing the right thing. So one has to be very, very careful. Bandhan means sabadhan and mate. Sabadhan means caution or careful. Of course, in India, you see this sign all the time. In Hindi, sarvadhan, but nobody follows it. To them, sarvadhan means go faster. Close your eyes and just hope for the best. Of course, they're the best drivers in the world. It's just like a race car driver is a much better driver than I am. So in India, they're all basically race car drivers. I don't know if there are any famous racetracks. There is a racetrack in India now. It's actually in Noida. They just erected a giant racetrack. So, getting back to the point. I don't know if it probably doesn't have any lanes, but there's a whole city of racetracks right now in India. When you're going from Govardhan to Delhi, this is a city called Noida, which is on the outskirts of Delhi. And they've erected a sports city there. It was interesting with big stadiums and everything like that. So, and anyway, that's one story about someone lost everything in the position of giving the Bhagavatam class just by offending a devotee, not rising up when Balaram came in. And there's many other stories that teach us this. I mean, many times we just talk about these stories, what a cool story, but we don't apply it to ourselves. I mean, actually, everything is meant for application. You know, we get into the pastimes, you know, Krishna dancing with the gopis, oh, it's so nice, he kissed and, you know, smooched and everything like that. Boy, I haven't used that word in years. So, we just really get into it, but then we don't think, you know, what does it mean as far as my own life? What do I got to do? Not only to achieve that position, but what do I learn from the attitudes of the personalities and, you know, the results they get? I mean, and so other stories about offenses, there's so many stories. I was thinking about this. There's so many stories about people committing offenses and losing everything. Another famous story, of course, is the story of Gopal Chapala. Gopal Chapala, he blasphemed Srivas Thakur. Srivas Thakur was having this nice kirtan in Srivasangam, his residence, every day. And they wouldn't allow people who weren't pure devotees to come in. Imagine if we did that in the door of the temple. You know, you must be a pure devotee. Just shut the door, you know, lock it. He said, you know, I have a pure devotee test, you know, say, are you on the Brahma-Buddha platform? Do you love Krishna? Do you shake each time you hear the name Gauranga Balite Habi Pulakashavir? So anyway, so they wouldn't allow, because this is Lord Chaitanya's kirtan. So people, some people got really upset, and even people cursed Lord Chaitanya because they weren't allowed in. But in any case, even today, Lord Chaitanya later allowed Jagan Madai to come into the kirtan. It's interesting. They became pure devotees. So this Gopal Chapala, he was not allowed in to hear or see the kirtan. And he was thinking, I'm so upset with this Srivas Thakur. I'm going to frame him. And the police do this sometimes in America and other countries. They frame people by planting drugs in someone's house, someone they want to get rid of. And then they go and find the drug. And then they arrest the person. So he was thinking in the same way, because he wasn't a member of the police, that I will show the other Vaishnavas that Srivas Thakur is not a real good Vaishnava because he's worshipping Durga. So what he did is he put all the ingredients, vermilion and other things, for worshipping Durga outside of Srivas Thakur's door so people would naturally think that Srivas Thakur was doing all these things. And so then, because in those days there wasn't the internet. It's easier to blaspheme someone nowadays because you have the internet. You can accuse someone of so many things. You can plant things on their computer and just like go in the computer. Ah, look at it, he's doing. And so Srivas Thakur woke up that morning and he saw all the things and he said, look, now everybody knows I'm worshipping Durga. So, yeah, he didn't even defend himself. But the other devotees understood it was just a frame-up. And as a result of that, Gopal Chapala lost everything. I mean, not only did he lose everything, but he developed leprosy. And, you know, leprosy is one of the worst diseases you can possibly have. Actually, I was just listening to a tape of Chamal Krishna Maharaj about how the devotees were in Kumbh Mela, and there were a lot of lepers there. And this is very interesting anyway. It has nothing to do with the story, but I'll tell it. And so the lepers were asking for charity. And Prabhupada said, you can give them charity as long as they're sitting, but if they stand up and they go to you for the money, don't give them anything. Because he said the etiquette of giving to a beggar, the beggar must be sitting. It's interesting, isn't it? I mean, there's even an etiquette of begging. So that doesn't apply to Sankirtan, though. So what happened with Gopal Chapala, he got leprosy, and he was being eaten or bitten by all these worms that were crawling in, like the worms crawl in and the worms crawl out in your stomach and out your mouth. Anyway, so the worms were crawling in, and he was thinking, I want to be saved from this. The only person who could save me is Gaurahari, Lord Chaitanya. So he went to Lord Chaitanya and said, please save me, save me. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, I curse you to be bitten by those same worms for many, many lifetimes. So you think, you know, Lord Chaitanya is, you know, Namaho Mahavajanyaya Krishna Prema Padayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namani Guru Tsevara. He's the most beneficent. So why is he cursing someone? Because that person had offended the Vaishnavas. And so imagine getting cursed by Lord Chaitanya that you'd be bitten by these worms and your leprous sores for many, many lifetimes. So eventually, of course, he went and offered obeisances to Srivas Thakur, and he was forgiven, and then he was cured of this leprosy. So you see, just like very, very dangerous. So this is another note of caution for us. You know, just be very, very careful when dealing with great Vaishnavas. Even if two Vaishnavas have a difference of opinion, like, of course, Prabhupada makes that point in regard to Advaitacharya and Lord Nityananda. You know, they were sometimes having these mock fights, and, you know, and like Lord Nityananda would come into Advaitacharya's house and take prasad, and he said, you know, I've been fasting. I was hoping to break my fast, but now I'm not even getting a morsel of food. And actually, he was getting quite a morsel, millions of morsels of food from Advaita Acharya. And he got so upset. You know, this is a mock fight, of course. He threw the rice on the ground. You know, Advaita Acharya said, you know, just eat. You know, you reject Avadhuta or something like that. And then Advaita Acharya was hit by some of the rice that fell on the ground, you know, bounced off the ground. He said, now I've become crazy, like this Avadhuta. And so, and then they were having fights in the Narendra Sarovara, you know, like water fights and everything like that. That Lord Nityananda would splash water in Advaita Acharya's face, so it would blind him. You know, you get water splashed in your face, it blinds you for some time. And so, you know, they were calling each other names. So Prabhupada said, even when you see great Vaishnavas engaged in some interesting interactions like that, you have to be very careful. And there's also etiquette. You know, Prabhupada would sometimes say things about his god brothers to protect us, and then if we said the same things, Prabhupada said, that's not proper, you can't do that, it's an offense. So there's all this Vaishnava etiquette that one has to be aware of too, to avoid offending Vaishnavas. You know, there's also amongst even Vaishnavas who were initiated by the same guru, there's older and younger. I mean, it's just, it seems like artificial or external, but these are important items of culture. You know, in America, culture to us, I mean, doesn't mean anything. You know, what is a culture? I mean, when I was young, culture meant just learning how to use the right fork and the right knife to cut the piece of meat. Or to cut the, you know, this is a cake fork, this is a meat fork, or a knife, isn't it? I mean, crazy. But nowadays, of course, it's not even that anymore. So, you know, there's culture we have to learn, because if you violate the culture, violate the etiquette. I mean, just like that story, Maitreya Muni and Vidura, that Maitreya Muni was the one to actually speak, and Uddhava was there too, because he was senior. And Prabhupada comments in the Bhagavatam that if one violates, violation of the etiquette is called Maryada Vyatikrama, then he said that you cannot achieve Krishna. You know, Prabhupada was making that point in the purport. A Vaishnava has to always observe the etiquette, or, you know, be a perfect gentleman. So, you know, in Vedic culture, there's actually different items of etiquette. We're not talking about casteism or anything like that. That's a modern invention. And even that, of course, that casteism was applied in the Mahabharata against Karna, which actually caused so much problems because of that, Karna formed an alliance with Duryodhana and fought on the wrong side. So we're not interested in casteism, but we are interested in etiquette, Vaishnava etiquette or Vedic etiquette. It's not, you know, Americans, not to decry America, I mean, Prabhupada did like America because America gave Prabhupada the facility to spread Krishna consciousness. But we also have to apply some of the culture. We're not talking about modern Indian culture so much, but the traditional Indian culture, Prabhupada wanted that. We don't want to decry that. I mean, there are cultural items that are very important, so it's important to understand the original culture. Anyway, so there's many other stories, but let me tell one other story that I had noted down here of how someone became bereft of opulence just by offending a Vaishnava. There's the story, famous story, perhaps the most instructive story, is the story of Ramchandra Khan. Ramchandra Khan was very envious of the Vaishnavas, particularly envious of Haridas Thakur. And Haridas Thakur, what was he envious of? Haridas Thakur was getting appreciation, just like sometimes we see another devotee getting so much appreciation, we think, you know, our throat sort of curls up. Oh, why? You know, don't people understand how advanced I am? You know, we feel like that. It's in our hearts. It's actually, we should understand it's not right when we feel like that. Not that we just get into it. You know, we just get into it, and that Even if we don't speak about it, it's just like eating us up inside. So Ramchandra Khan, he was a devotee. No, he wasn't just a demon. He was a devotee. He had a Durga Mandap in his house and everything like that. Not in the house, but he, you know, worshipped Krishna. And so he was envious of Haridas Thakur. Here's this Muslim guy getting all this prophet adoration distinction. And here I am, you know, I'm rich. I'm the Zamindar. Zamindar means like a landholder. So I'm rich. So he thought, you know, I got to frame Haridas Thakur, you know, a sting operation. You know, we're thinking in America, we're so proud we have sting operations. So he sent the prostitute to do a sting operation, and of course the prostitute later on became a devotee of Krishna after 3 days of trying her best with Haridas Thakur. And then after that, Ramchandra Khan, his whole village was devastated because of the offenses against the Vaishnava. And he was imprisoned, and the Durga Mandap outside of his house, outside of the temple, was utilized by the Muslims to eat cow flesh and cook cow flesh. I mean, that was the result of offending a Vaishnava, even though he was part of Vedic culture. He wasn't a Muslim. Because he, you know, was worshipping Krishna. So anyway, so all these stories we should learn something from, to be very, very careful. Obviously, we're not going to do what Hiranyakashipu did to Prahlad Maharaj, but we have a little Hiranyakashipu in our hearts. And so we have to be able to eradicate the Hiranyakashipu by being introspective and by chanting the holy names purely. You know, really, like today's Ekadasi, it's an opportunity to pray to Krishna. Please get rid of it. You know, because we're both of us are on the stage of Sadhana Bhakti. And we're trying to get into an art and vritti, or we're engaged in an art and vritti, so we should work on that. You know, before trying to jump up and jump into the rasa dance. You know, it's like a Hiranyakashipu jumping in the middle of a rasa dance, right? Can you imagine, you know, a Hiranyakashipu, here I am! You know, GB and a gorilla did that, right? He jumped right into the middle of Balaram's rasa dance. And guess what? That was it. Even though he was a devotee, he was a servant of Lord Ramchandra, everything was finished. So we shouldn't try to jump prematurely into the rasa dance. Otherwise, we'll be like Vidvid a gorilla. Okay, on that happy note...